Hey, good morning, good evening, good afternoon. It's your guy, Larry, and you tuned into Larry's Biblecast. What an awesome and wonderful episode I have prepared for you today. Listen, this I'm not going to do too much talking, but I want to let you know that as of just yesterday or the day before yesterday, when I set out the recording for, I want to say episode 18, well, this will be episode 19. We got two more episodes to tackle. Day 20 and day 21 will be next. But I pray that this message will see you well. It is a pretty more straightforward. I feel like a straightforward message, but it's also very good just to hear from the Bible and what the Bible has to say about favor. There's so many things throughout our rest of those episodes that I did when it talks about favor. I never knew that favor had so many benefits, but so much direction in this devotion about favor. So I know I've been getting wonderful messages from this Bible here. This devotional, excuse me, it's out of the Word of God, but it's also showing us the different ways in which God has given us favor and how we're to take care of it. We're to be responsible of it and things like that, and how favor is given to us today and we need to take advantage of it today. Amen. So listen, I'm not going to talk too much longer because this is a long episode. And so I just want to just kind of give you that little bit, that little tidbit. Thank you again for tuning in. Thank you for all of you that even turned to listen to me. I appreciate it. I appreciate just your listenership and just everything. So again, I don't ask anything from you all. This message of the gospel, I believe, is for free. It's free. Thank you for tuning in, whether it's through Apple Podcasts, or you can tune in through Spotify. I'm now on Spotify. I'm also on iHeartRadio. I'm also on Podchaser. I know I don't mention them very much, but there's a podcasting app that you can download called Podchaser as well. There's Pocket Cast, there's Google Cast or Google Podcast, I believe it is called, and a few other ways. And wherever you get your podcast from, just go ahead and tune in. Find my podcast, Larry's Biblecast, and you can tune in and check out all my episodes, all the past episodes that I've done, and just leading up to now. So still currently recording. You know, I know some of us either have been recording or have stopped recording. I believe there's some podcasts that I've also tuned into, and that some of them have older episodes and they don't have any more, but I am still currently doing recording. So I appreciate it. I appreciate the time that you've given me. I'm trying, like I said, try not to take too much of your time, but again, hopefully you get something out of what I'm telling you and what I'm reading out of the Bible, out of the Word of God. Amen. And so again, appreciate your listenership and pray for me. Pray for this podcast. Pray for myself as well. And that the Lord will continue to strengthen me and keep me focused on the Word of God, as also on Him, so that I can become more and more like Him as well. I am just like you. I'm no different. I have my ups and my downs. I have my falls and stuff like that too. But the Lord is also still developing me just as well. And I just pray that as He's working on me, He's working on you, like He's working on every single one of us. Amen. We haven't made it there yet. We're still a work in progress. But I praise God that He's given me the opportunity to be able to talk with you and share with you not only the Bible, the verses of the Bible, and the devotionals that I'm reading to you. And we're going to be getting into some other things too as well, as far as the Bible is concerned. So again, I want to thank you again and appreciate it. All right, let's get back into this. Let's get into this word. God bless you again, and sit back and relax and enjoy this next episode of Larry's Biblecast. All right. So let's get right into the scripture portion of today's devotional. This is going to be day 19 of the devotional favor. So hopefully everyone's been enjoying some of the scriptures that I've been reading out of this devotional entitled Favor. If not, you're more than welcome to check out some of the previous recordings that I've done on this awesome, wonderful series of called Favor. This devotional, once again, is 21 days long, and so today we're reading out of day 19. For those of you that are kind of wondering, trying to figure out where I'm at now, so day 19 is today's devotional, and we've been learning quite a bit from this entire devotional, and so we're going to go ahead and get into the scripture portion. So without further ado, those of you that have Bibles, grab your Bibles or read along or listen along or follow along in the matter of fact, the Bible app I use quite a bit to go through the scriptures and stuff and read to you. So today's portion here is going to be we're going to be reading out of Matthew chapter 25 verses 1 through 46, and then we're going to go ahead and probably talk a little bit about that and go into another portion of scripture, 2 Timothy 1 and 14, and the last one will be Proverbs 3:33, and then we'll close out with our devotional today. So hopefully you guys are prepared, and we're going to see what God's word has for us today. And just kind of something to, you know, always something to kind of start your day, or maybe your evening or afternoon, whatever time you decide to listen to this particular podcast. First of all, before I get into that, I want to again thank you so much for tuning in and being a part of the listening audience and just listening in and kind of tuning in and seeing what I'm talking about here. So again, let's get right into Matthew chapter 25, and it's going to be for 46 verses 1 through 46. So again, let's get into this here real quick. So verse 1, it says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps, but the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, 'Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him.' All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the 5 foolish ones asked the others, 'Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out.' But the others replied, 'We don't have enough for all of us. Go to his shop and buy some for yourselves.' But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other 5 bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, 'Lord, Lord, open the door for us.' But he called back, 'Believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or hour of my return.' Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earn 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Verse 24, then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money right back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, then why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place a sheep at his right hand and the goats on at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Then the righteous ones will reply, 'Lord, when did I ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison or and visited you?' The king will say, 'I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me.' Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, 'Away with you, you cursed ones, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me.' Then They will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you? And he will answer, I tell you the truth, when you refuse to help the least of these brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. Wow. So this was a very interesting passage. What did you guys think about this? What is your thoughts about what we've just read within this passage here? And mind you, this is also about favor. Okay, this is about favor. So maybe giving you a little time to think about what Jesus had to say, because this was all Jesus talking about when it comes to the kingdom of heaven, a kingdom of God, right? This is something that we really, as believers, as Christians, we really have to think about. Remember, this is Jesus talking, the kingdom of heaven, talking about the kingdom of heaven. Mind you, there's a lot of thought and reflection that each and every one of us have to think about while today is today. Now, we did a reading on, this is day 19. Well, just on day 18, we had a reading on from favor. And I'll just give you a little peek at it. Hopefully you listen to it, or you may have to go back and listen to it. But it has to do with making your making good use of your time today. Make sure that you're utilizing the time that you have while it is still today, because you don't know when Jesus will come back or when your last moments will be, whether it's tomorrow. So tomorrow, when you think of tomorrow, you think of tomorrow as in the day that you have never gotten there yet. It could be a week from now, a month from now, some years from now, but that is your tomorrow. That is my tomorrow. And so we have to make use of that time. So in day 19, we can almost see the same kind of theme and the same kind of message about people making good use of what they have. We notice where Jesus, he comes in, he talks about the kingdom of heaven will be like bridesmaids who basically they were preparing to meet the bridegroom. This was stories or a parable that Jesus was telling that had to do with us believers and those of us who know and are aware that Jesus Christ will be coming back. The bridegroom is basically the symbolism of Jesus Christ. The bridegroom is the one that will come back. They know, we too know that Christ will be coming back. We don't know when, we don't know how soon, when will it happen? Will it happen tomorrow, or as in tomorrow, as I said? We don't know. When we say tomorrow, that could mean tomorrow as in the next day or the next week, the next month, or the year or years from now. We do not know when Christ will come back. But this here is telling us in this parable that we must take every opportunity to make sure that we are prepared for Jesus Christ. And then as we went further down, you notice here when it talked about the bridegroom and the bridesmaids were to make sure that they had enough oil prepared, and they weren't prepared. There was some that weren't. There was five that were. They say five were wise and five were foolish. And out of those five, there was five that were foolish. They decided they wasn't going to get the oil to prepare themselves to meet the bridegroom, and they were unprepared. They ran frantically to try to get oil from those that were wise. And guess what? They weren't prepared. So what ended up happening? They had to they were left behind when the bridegroom came. And next thing you know, the door became locked and they couldn't get in. So then the next parable had to do with again, the kingdom of God can be illustrated, okay, as a story of a man going on a long trip. Again, we can definitely identify with this today. Christ, when he was here in the physical form, we read about him. That's like we're doing right now in the book of Matthew. We read about him, and as he was, you know, among his disciples, he basically forewarned them about the kingdom of heaven to be illustrated. And then guess what? After that, he went and he gave his life on the cross. When he gave his life on the cross, and then he died and he was killed and buried and then born again or raised to life again, excuse me. Then he ascended from there to be with the Father. That means that he went away to heaven. Okay, Jesus went away to heaven. He gave us a command, or the Great Commission, we call it, where it says, go into all the world and make disciples. Now, he gave even more detail, though, in this illustration where he said about he gave five bags of silver, or the servant, excuse me. He called the servants together and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. So this shows here in this illustration, it shows that the man went away on a long trip. Okay, he went away on a long trip, and that's the same thing. We can compare this illustration to Jesus Christ, who has gone. Now, how many of you understand that from what we knew from when the Bible was written, from now we are reading the Bible, and Jesus Christ has gone, and we now know, since some of us either heard the stories or read in the Bible, or we've heard it preached, that Jesus Christ is coming back. Now, that could have been maybe 10 years ago, 20 years ago, that we've first heard that Jesus Christ is coming back. Some of you that may be listening to me now are now understanding that Jesus Christ is coming back. It's in the Bible. It's written in the Word. We have to, once you have heard the Word and have been exposed to the Word, you are now accountable to what you hear. And it's very important for us now that we know, and you have knowledge, and you acknowledge that you know the truth, we have to act upon it. We have to be about our Father's business. And it says here, it talks about the servants, and he gives examples of how one had five bags and he invested that and made 10. He had another one that had two bags and he invested that and earned and made an investment with that and earned two more, which he had four. By the time the servant came back, the last one he gave one and he buried it. Now, these are all examples of individuals like you and I. Okay, some of us are out and about doing our Father's business. We are, and it doesn't have to do with money. It has to do with the spiritual works that we are to be doing. We are to be either preaching God's word, we sharing God's word, doing good works, or whatever God has called you to do, called you and I to do. This is what we're doing. Whether it's those things or just being a light that helps in the world that we live in today. Remember, the Bible says that the harvest is plenty and the workers are few. The reason why he said that now is it's an appeal for all of us that know the Word of God, or even if we don't know the Word of God, but we start to begin to share God's love and God's message of redemption to all of us. Listen, it's not just good enough for you and your family or those that you have around you to be saved, and that's it. those of you, like for you yourself, if you received receive salvation, which I know you have, I'm sure you have, right? And I hope you have, then you are to be telling others about Christ. And if those have received the message of Christ and they have received Christ in their hearts and are born again, then guess what? They are to do the same. There is a multiplication process as we continue on in this world. He doesn't just save us and then rapture us out of here immediately. We are to do the work of Christ. Amen. So then as he continues on here, he talks about, you know, he gives rewards and everything else. And then, of course, we see in, I believe, about verse 24, he talks about how the last servant, he went to him and had one bag of silver and came to him. And he knew, he says, "Master, I knew you were harsh. You were a harsh man harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate." You know, it's funny how he says this to the master. He says that harvesting crops that you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. It almost sounds like he was throwing an excuse to him, and he was. So he was saying that he was afraid that he would lose the money, so he hid it in the earth. And you know, that wasn't a good enough excuse for the master. You see what happened, right? So he ends up telling him. He says, "Well, how come you just didn't put my money in the bank? How come you didn't do that?" But he didn't. He made an excuse as to how come he did not invest in a timely manner in all the time that he has been gone. So none of us, you and I, none of us want to be the example of this person. We do not want to be the example of this person. And then guess what ended up happening? He was thrown into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If you read verse 30 in Matthew 25, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Can you imagine? That is hell. That is a place of outer torment. That is continual torment forever and ever. So we don't want to be that person. Amen. So then we continue on when he talks about where the Son of Man comes in his glory with all his angels, and he will sit on the glorious throne. All nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as the shepherd separates the sheep and from the goats. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm not as very knowledgeable about end time prophecies, but I do know that this is somewhat of a picture of the end times, meaning where Christ will be sitting on the throne. And this could be I'm just guessing, but this could be the great white throne judgment. Now, remember, during this time, like he says, he's going to separate those that work for him, the sheep and the goats. If you notice here that he had to separate sheep and the goats, that means that at one point, the sheep and the goats were together. They were gathered together, right? And so all the people, and you notice sheep and goats were, I guess in a sense, they were similar to one another. Can you imagine all of us who go to church, all of us that go to church all over the world, all of us that are going to work and having families and everything else, we are all gathered together. We all are on one same planet. And when Jesus Christ comes back, and when it comes time for the great white throne judgment, can you imagine that those that are in his presence, whether they're whatever culture, whether old or young, whether they are male or female, it does not matter. Listen, we got so much going on in the world today that there are so many different cultures and backgrounds and people that believe in things and don't believe in things. And they some of us raised in church, some of us raised in the church, some of us have not. Listen, there we are all going to be gathered together at some point, and he's going to judge and separate those that are goats and those that are sheep. Which one are you? Which one would you think you feel that you are at this moment in time? If Christ were to come back right now, what side will you think that you would be on? I hope that you are confident enough to say that you've done enough. And listen, and the reason why, if you have a question as to whether you've done enough, and this is not, listen, this is not about works of salvation to where you would get into heaven. Because remember, there is a part of us that, yes, we receive salvation freely. It is a gift. It is something that we do not work and have works of earning those things into salvation. We are given that freely. But there will also be a time in which we will see whether or not we will be favored by Christ, whether the works that we have done, or did you just live life just the way you want to live it, even as a Christian, and you never did anything when it comes to asking the Lord what it is you want for him to do. Listen, we are all capable and are all assigned to do things. I can't tell you personally what it is that God has for you to do. It is up to you to pray and ask the Lord for direction and guidance and ask him what it is that you want me to do. What is it that you would have for me to do for you? Okay, it could be something very small. It could be something very, listen, each one of us has an ability, and God understands what he has for you, just like he understands what he has for me. Listen, he'll never put too much more. He will never put more on to you than you can bear. He understands he understands what you have on your plate. Some people say right now, they say, well, I got so much going on. Well, that could be a problem. That could be a problem. You may have too much going on. Maybe you have so much going on that you're crowding out what it is that God has called you to do. Maybe there might be some things that you need to prioritize. You need to get those things out of the way, things like that. But we all need to ask the Lord what it is that he has called us to do. Amen. Listen, I invite you to really think about this parable, this illustration about the kingdom of heaven. This is not to condemn anybody, but this is to keep us aware and keep us alert, because Christ is coming back. Christ will be coming back. Are you one that he will be proud of and say, like he did with his servants, come, let us celebrate? Or will you be like the foolish brides that were left outside of the feast of the bridegroom? Which one will you be? There's several illustrations that he gave here. He gave the illustration of the bridegrooms. He gave the illustration of the servants. And now he's given the last one. He gave the illustrations about people that were either hungry or hungry or thirsty or a stranger that was invited into your home, and they would ask about when did you see me naked and when did you see me not giving me clothing. Listen, now this last part of the illustration that he gave, remember, he's getting more detailed. He's giving you actually even more works. He's saying that there are those that are out there that are hungry, those that are thirsty, those that need things, those that didn't have no clothes, they were naked, those that were sick in the hospital or in prison, and you didn't visit me. See, there's a reason why we're reading this today. There's a reason why Jesus is talking in this illustration. We have to take this very seriously. And then it says here, then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you? You see, they probably, in this illustration, the people that he illustrated or gave the comparison to was the fact that these people thought that they were ministering, talking about him. He said, when do we see you? No, if you saw anybody out there that was thirsty or hungry, didn't have a home, homeless people, whether they had no clothes to wear, didn't have no food to eat. They were either in prison, they were in the hospital. You didn't pray for them. You didn't visit them. Listen, saints, and I'm talking to those of us that know better. We are not just to go to church and get dressed up and go to church and get the word and then that's it and go home. We are to do more than this. So Christ is telling us that when you saw them, you saw me. When you, whatever you haven't done for them, then you haven't done for me. See, he begins to say, whatever you have, see what it says here, the answer, he says, and he will answer in verse 45, I will tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. When you refused to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you notice that? He calls them my brothers and sisters. You were refusing to help me. And unfortunately, in verse 46, he ends by saying, and they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. Now, listen, saints, I know that this might be something that is either controversial, maybe debatable. Maybe you have some thoughts of, well, I thought this had something to do with salvation. And it truly does. At the same time, we also got to understand that you don't just take a free gift. There's a reason why Christ died on the cross. He died on the cross to save us from our sin nature. But once that happened, now you are born again. Me and you, we are born again. And we are still servants of the Most High God. We are His children. He is our Father. And we are to go about doing the work of our Father. We are to go about doing the work that God has called us to do. Listen, the work that God has called you to do is no more different than the responsibilities you have from day to day. Each and every one of us, we're either fathers, mothers, sisters or brothers, grandparents, it doesn't matter. We have a responsibility to do the work of Christ, whether it's in our family, whether it's on our job, whether it's, in communities or what have you, whatever it is, make a difference. That's really what I'm coming down to on this one. Make a difference. Make a difference for Christ. Make a difference for the kingdom of God. Listen, you don't have to be an ordained preacher or one that has a degree or a degree or doctrine in the Bible. Even if you know a scripture or two about the Bible or reading something like I am doing and preaching or delivering a message or helping someone, if the Lord has called you to help, then help. If the Lord has called you to encourage, then do that. Go to the hospital and visit the sick people or pray for them or do the things that God has called you to do. Maybe the homeless person that's out there. And sometimes we look at some people and yes, some people are either mental or some of them are maybe alcoholics or drug addicts. And we know this. They are among us. Remember, these people are there so that we can help. And you can help by either giving a hand and assisting them, whether they're thirsty, whether they're hungry, whether they need food or a volunteer in someplace, or you can pray for them. You can pray for them. Spend your time praying for some of these people. So again, this is, again, just an example of how God is showing us favor, and we need to take that favor and use it for the benefit of what we have. Amen. So I know this is a little bit of a lengthy segment. I want you to hang in there. We got a couple more verses, like I said, to go over really quick, and then we're going to close out with our devotional. Thank you again for sitting here and listening to what we have. Isn't God good? We just open up more and more about what God has called us to do and what the scriptures is telling us. Amen. And praise God that we still can call today today, right? Amen. All right. Hang in there. We'll be right back. I'm going to turn it over to our message, our sponsor from Anchor, and we'll be right back after this. All right, so welcome back. Welcome back. So if you got a chance to kind of go into and get a little snack or something, just kind of refresh yourself. I'm getting back into the scriptures here again. And listen, we got some more scripture to read here. We're going to read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. And it says simply this: through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. Let's read that one more time. Through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, okay? He lives within us. Carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. Let's go on to the next one before we get to talking about that one. This is in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33. Again, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33. The Lord curses the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the upright. Now, let's talk a little bit about this one real quick. You notice here it says the Lord curses, not the devil. You notice that? Well, a lot of times we like to blame the devil. The devil did this, or Satan did this, or what have you. It says here in Proverbs 3:33, the Lord curses the house of the wicked. You see that? But he blesses the home of the upright. What kind of home or house do you have? Do you have a house that is connected to the wicked? Do you allow certain things to happen in your home that God would be ashamed of? God is concerned about, God doesn't approve of. Just think about that for a minute. Again, this is the word. This is not me. This is not me saying anything about what the way your house is, your home is. It's the word itself. Now, some people, this is why that some people don't like to read the Bible, and some people even speak against the Bible, because the Bible, what it does is it tells it, well, like they say, it tells it like it is, but it also it has us to be accountable to the Lord. Amen. It's very important in the day that we're living as Christians, that we live as Christians, that we be Christians. Either you be a Christian or not. We can't be one or the other. The Bible even tells us as a scripture in Revelations where in Revelations where God or Jesus is talking about, he said, I would rather for you to be hot or cold. If you are lukewarm, you will spew you out of your mouth. That means you be one or the other. Don't straddle the fence. You cannot be friends with the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God and be friends of the world. You can't do both. You can't do both. You can't go, you know, you straddle. There's no such thing as straddling into hell or straddling into heaven. You can't. You got to be one or the other. So you have to decide today. And I'm not saying any of you are like this, but those of you that have the ministry of God on you and that the Lord has called you to preach, or God, the Lord has called you to share the gospel with others, this is one of your messages to give to others. Make sure that you're letting people know that you can't be a hypocrite. Listen, we have a lot of hypocrites in church. Yes, I said it. We have a lot of hypocrites in the church. We have a lot of hypocrites that are Christians, that say that they are Christians. We cannot live a double standard. We cannot live as if we are, that people can't tell whether or not we are believers or we are not. See, so some of us, we say we're Christians. We say that we believe in the Lord, or we act like we do, and then we're living like we don't. So God sees that. You're not fooling yourself or others. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. There's people in the world that understand and see us for who we are. If we're living a hypocritical life, the world sees that. They already know how the world lives. They're not judging you, but they are seeing you for who you are. And so the thing is we got to get to a place where we're living the life that we're supposed to live. Don't think that whatever you do in your house, that since nobody sees it, that means that you're okay. Remember, this scripture tells it plainly. The Lord curses the house of the wicked, and he blesses the home of the upright. What are you doing in your home? How are you living at home? How are you living in the place that nobody can see you, but the Lord can see you? Amen. So that's something to remember. Now, the next one, 1 Timothy 1:14, we just got through reading. Through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. You notice what it says here, and he's talking to believers. The only person that has the Holy Spirit is the believer. If you are a believer today, then you have the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you. It says, who lives within us. It says, carefully guard the precious truth that has been what entrusted to you. This reminds me of the verse that we were reading about the parable about the man who went away on a long vacation and had the servants, and he gave each servant bags of silver to invest and to do what they're supposed to do until he gets back. You notice that? He says, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted in you. Let's read a little bit out of this, 14. And let's see a little bit what Paul was talking about. This is a letter to Timothy. And he says here, he says, hold on to the pattern. This is verse 13. We're going to go into 13 and go into 14. Hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learned from me, a pattern shaped by faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus. And then it says, through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. You see that? So he wants us to understand that the thing that is the most precious thing, that precious truth, is the Word of God, is the message of Christ, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is why Paul himself was talking to Timothy. He was talking to Timothy at that time. That's where this is coming from when he wrote this letter to Timothy. And he's talking to him about he's teaching him. He's discipling him and letting him know, do what you have to do. See, be the preacher, be the apostle, as he was doing what he was doing. Listen, as I said before, we all have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. We have an obligation. Jesus went away and he is now coming back. Understand that. Understand that. This is so important to us, is that he is now coming back, and he's coming back for a church, for a body of believers. Are you going to be a part of that? I will. I can definitely tell you, I am going to be a part of the church. I am definitely a part of the church. I am one of his messengers to preach his word. And you know what? I can't wait to see Christ come back. I can't wait to see him come back. When he comes back, he's not coming back as the baby Jesus. He's coming back as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And you know what? We, you and I, and others that you know, ought to be ready. We ought to be ready. Amen. So let's go ahead and close it out with our devotional. And it's about favor. So favor is life-giving, it says. Consider a fresh water pond. Water flows in and water flows out. It is a healthy habitat for fish, plants, and animals. People are drawn to its beauty and serenity. Now, picture a stagnant a stagnant swamp, excuse me. Algae covers the top and sunlight cannot penetrate through the water. Swarms of gnats and mosquitoes hover in pockets. Overgrown weeds surround the edge. There is an odor in the atmosphere. One landscape is certainly more appealing than the other. Similarly, a life of favor is attractive because it promotes life, okay? Increase in abundance. Just as a groundskeeper maintains a beautiful pond, God requires us to steward our favor well. When we properly manage the favor we've been entrusted with, wisdom, discipline, and generosity, He will grant us more. What will you do today with the favor you've been given? And this is what we've been talking about throughout the entire episode today. We've been talking about that. We've been talking about God requires us to steward very well. That means to be responsible, be managing what God has given us, what the responsibility. He compares this to a groundskeeper who maintains a beautiful pond. What kind of these ponds, the one that is fresh, a fresh water pond that is like lots of, it's healthy with, like they said, with habitat for fish and plants and animals and stuff. And people are drawn to it because of its beauty and serenity. Is your life, your Christian walk in your life compared to the one that is a stagnant swamp, which full of algae and sunlight can't penetrate through it, the water? Do you notice the descriptions that they use? The swarms of gnats and mosquitoes hover in pockets, overgrown weeds surround its edge, and plus it has an odor. Which one would you say you are? Now, again, this is a wonderful message. Why? Because you and I have a chance to change. And if you're that one that is a stagnant swamp, then guess what? You can change. You have time before Christ comes back. Yes, we do not know when Christ is coming back, but guess what? You still have time. You have time today. You have time at this very moment. So I want you to really, especially listening or reading through Matthew chapter 25 and read that entire chapter. That is an excellent chapter to read and ask the Lord and pray to the Lord and say, God, I want to be a usable servant, but I want to be someone that you can rely on, that I can be dependable. Well, listen, we do everything. We are reliable parents. Some of us are probably reliable parents, going to make sure that we do everything that we're supposed to do for our children. We are reliable employees, making sure that you're there on time and make sure you do everything that you do. You probably get a reward for being there and being on time and doing the best you can. Maybe some of us are reliable spouses, a husband or wife, and you just will make sure that you do everything. And listen, I'm not saying that those things are wrong. I am saying those things are awesome. Those are wonderful things. I'm sure that some of you are great spouses. Some of you are great fathers and mothers. Some of you are great employees or co-workers or CEOs, even pastors or even members in the church. Do you know, a lot of times we do things, but we're not doing them for Christ. Okay, we're not doing them for Christ. We're not doing them because we just wanted to get the accolades from those around us. We want to get the praise and the recognition for those around. But when is the last time, if some of you out there have gone to work because it's just the right thing to do the things that you do at your job, to do what you do for your husband, your wife, to do what you do for your kids? You know, those are wonderful things. But also do them. There's a scripture that says this, that whatever you do, whether it's in word or deed, do it as unto the Lord. Do you know God loves it when you do things for Him, even if it's doing it for others? And remember, we saw the example of how he said about people who are hungry, people who are homeless, people that need food to eat, people that don't have no clothes, people that are sick in the hospital or sick, or people that are in prison. Listen, we are to love our neighbor. There's another verse that says that love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul and strength. And also the one that is equally important, it says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Do you know that's part of the Ten Commandments? Jesus says this even in the New Testament. He goes on to say to love your neighbor as well. It's just as important as loving your God. Okay? So when you're out and about, maybe when you're at the grocery store and maybe you see somebody that needs some food, instead of giving them money, give them something to eat. Give them a fruit. Give them an orange. Give them an apple. Give them a banana, whatever. If you have some of us got so many clothes in our closets. Some of us have clothes that we don't even wear. Some of us got shoes that we can hand down to somebody that don't have shoes. Some of us have things, material things that we just letting them collect dust in our own homes. Okay? So there's a lot of things that we can do for others. There is times where we drive. I've done it myself. And I'm going to be honest with you. I've done it myself. Hurrying, rushing on to work and passing right by homeless people, or while I'm driving, I'm passing by. Do you know God says, at least if you can't do nothing, at least pray for them. Ask the Lord to send someone to help them, even if it's not you. Someone said, well, I don't trust what they're going to do with the money. Who asked you to give money? Maybe he just wants you to pray, or maybe he wants you to pray to the Lord to send someone to help them. Okay? So it's all about the heart. It's all about your heart issue and what's going on in your heart. Amen? Listen, don't allow yourself to be so self-absorbed with the things of life that you don't heed what God has called you to do. We can get so busy. We can get so wild. We can get so wrapped up in our own situations. And it's easy to do. I've done it myself. And to where we forget about the things of God. We can't even hear the Holy Spirit because we're so busy. We got to make sure that before we start our day, we ask God to open our hearts and our minds and give us direction by the Holy Spirit. You know what that verse tells us? He says, through the power of the Holy Spirit, who lives within us. That's in 2 Timothy 1:14. Carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. Whatever it is, you have the truth in you. So it says carefully guard it. That means live by it. That means don't get so caught up in the things of the world today that we forget about the direction that God wants us to go in. Amen. Listen, God gives us all responsibilities, gives us jobs, gives us responsibilities at home with our families. And God blesses us with families. God blesses us with a spouse, right? With children. Those are a blessing from the Lord. But you know what? At the same time, don't forsake the things of God. Don't forsake what he has given us to do. Amen. Listen, I hope that you've gotten something out of this. I hope you have. I certainly have. This message is not just preaching to you, but it's preaching to me too. It's getting me in check. And listen, I don't care if you've been a Christian for say 50 plus years, or you've just started being a Christian. It doesn't matter. This is good word for all of us. And remember, Christ is coming back. Those of you that understand this word like I do, you know Christ is coming back, and he's coming back soon. We can see it. We can see the signs. We can see the signs in the world today. If we turn on the news, you see what's going on down the street or in your communities, in the nation, in the world that we're living in right now. There's so many signs that's telling us it's time. The time is coming to a close. We're in the 11th hour. We, you know, however way you want to describe it, whatever illustration you want to use, but it doesn't matter. We are closing in on Christ coming back. And listen, if it's not during the time that we're living, we may have a short amount of time as when we're living. We don't know when we're gonna leave this earth. We don't know when our last day will be. So make good use of the time that we have. Make good use of the time that you have. Make good use. Say the things that you need to say. Pray for people that you haven't prayed for. Pray for those that are out of the ark of safety, those in the hospital. Listen, speaking of that, let's go ahead and close out in a wonderful word of prayer. Father God, Lord, we just thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this word that you've given us today about favor, about allowing our lives to be used by you. Lord, help us to convict our hearts if we haven't been living to the best of our ability in you. Lord, show us what we need to do. Lord, open our hearts and our minds so that we can hear you more clearly. Lord, we ask right now by the power of your Holy Spirit to just direct us and guide us, Lord God. Each and every one of my listeners who are listening to me right now, Father, I pray that they live a life that is worthy of you. They live a life that you can see, not just for what others see, but what you see. Lord, I pray that they are prepared to meet you. I pray that each person is prepared to meet you if you come back soon or even if they pass away. But Lord, and we ask right now that you just continue to make us more and more like you each and every day. Those of you that have not received Christ, I pray for you. I pray that you receive Christ. I pray that you understand this word, that you open your heart and your mind to the Bible, and that you begin to apply the Bible and the Word of God to your life so that you can be more like Him and less of the world, not teeter-tottering back and forth. But Lord, just give them a right mind, a straight mind to serve you. Father, we just thank you for everything that you are doing and what you have been doing in our lives. We praise you for everything you've given us. We thank you for food to eat and clothes on our back and homes to live in, cars to drive, jobs to go to, just ways to earn a living. Father God, we thank you that we're for our health and our strength. Now we pray for those that are in the hospital, that are sick. We pray for those that are in prison. We pray for those that are homeless. Father God, help those that are in need right now. And we also pray for those that have mental disabilities that some of them don't know, they're not in their right mind. Father God, we pray right now for help. We pray for assistance. We pray for more people that will help them, Lord God. Father, we pray for those that are in the prisons right now. We pray for each and every prisoner, each and every man or woman that is incarcerated. And Lord, we ask right now to go into the cells and begin to minister to them by the power of your Holy Spirit, by those that are set apart to minister to them, those that are in the hospital right now, that are working in the hospital, the nurses and the doctors that are working alongside of each other, but also to help cure and help these people that are in the hospital, those that are out there homeless that we see each and every day. Father, I pray right now that you would be with them, Lord God. Help those that are volunteering to help them, Lord, increase the help so that they can help those that are out there homeless. Father God, we praise you and we thank you in advance. We thank you so much for what you are doing and what you will be doing. And Lord, we just thank you for this word that you've given us today. We praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, listen, you all, I thank you again for tuning in to this episode. I pray that this was something that was beneficial to you like it was for me. And I look forward to seeing you again, talking to you again. We have 2 more days left. We got day 20 and day 21. So I hope you stick around. Hope you tune in. And I will be preparing those for you to listen to. God bless you. Have a wonderful and awesome day or awesome week ahead of you. I'll be talking to you soon.